Today's episode of Times Ours is brought to you by NetSuite. Successful companies know faster growth requires the right tools. If you're doing one, 10, or hundreds of millions of dollars in revenue, NetSuite by Oracle gives a full picture of your business. Finance, inventory, HR, customers, and more, all in one place. Over 19,000 companies trust NetSuite, the world's number one cloud business system. Schedule your free product tour right now and receive your free guide, 7 Key Strategies to Grow Your Profits, at netsuite.com/listen. That's netsuite.com/listen.
All right, everybody working up. Everybody's working.
With that time, yours.
Guys, I've checked the papers. I've had those delivered to my door here in the year 2020. I have checked the internet many times over. I have looked in every corner. I have read the headlines. I have gotten the tweets. I have officially confirmed that the Kansas City Chiefs are still, in fact, Super Bowl champions. It is my goal to mention that fact at least once in every episode for the rest of the natural life of Times Ours here on The Athletic, because it's something that I'm still, I kid you not, not even being dramatic, something that I'm still kind of processing, and I imagine that's probably going around. It's Times Ours officially off-season edition. We made it, guys. We made it through a very long season, and the Chiefs won, and I'm going to say so did we.
Of course we won, and so did our listeners and, I guess, fans who were brave enough to go through the parade, including a car chase.
Oh, we'll talk about
including
that.
Including a car chase. Oh, how about that? It is one of those things where, like, you go to your Sunday service and the pastor is required to mention that, like, hey, did you know the Chiefs won the Super Bowl? You know?
So, amen.
So that happened yesterday. Yeah. I mean, whether it's the NFL Films work, which we must talk about too, just like the insight that you get from all the guys being mic'd up, the parade, our editor Brendan put together a Chiefs Super Bowl topics page on The Athletic that I would encourage you to go click on. I should probably tweet that out later today. There's like some 50 stories that we wrote that will give you sort of a snapshot slash, you know, the storybook year of the 2019 Chiefs. And yeah, we've entered the offseason and I haven't looked at one single prospect yet.
That's how you know it was a good season. Is that everyone has adopted, for the most part, everyone who follows the Chiefs has adopted my usual stance. Like, I used to, like, go watch prospects and stuff. Then about 3 years ago, I was like, man, I just spent, like, 100 hours of my life watching guys, and the Chiefs didn't draft one of them. Not one. This is why people get so mad about the draft, right? Because they've invested so much time and energy, and then they realize that it's down the drain. It's over.
You didn't watch tape of Rashad Fitton in South Carolina 2018? You
didn't watch that tape? I did after the Chiefs drafted him.
Right.
And that is my new policy. If the Chiefs draft a guy, I'm all in. Now, to be fair, had I adopted this policy a year earlier, I wouldn't have been like in love with Patrick Mahomes, and I wouldn't forever have that SB Nation article to link people to where I said if I were John Dorsey, I'd trade it for Pat Mahomes. That will forever mean I'm right about everything. However, back to the Super Bowl. It's been wonderful, although, Josh, I have been very concerned based on my mentions that there's at least a possibility that the NFL will strip the Chiefs of the Super Bowl because of the blatant and unforgivable number of holding penalties that they clearly committed. I'm sorry, I've had a lot of 49ers fans in my mentions, man.
It's okay. Can I hold on. I'm just going to freeze everything up right now and everybody to take a deep breath. First of all, I'm genuinely worried about the volume of your microphone, Seth. I'm getting a lot of, you're coming with a lot of aggression today, and I'm afraid
you're just before we started
crazy. I'm just you just have a lot of volume today, and I'm just wanting you to look at your waves. Just look at your recording file and just make sure you're not clipping, Seth, because you got some big clipping energy today.
I don't know what any outside of that means.
Oh, that makes sense, I guess, considering. Let me say these few things off the top. So this is Times Arts. I imagine if you're listening now, you've been listening through the regular season, but I don't want to take that for granted. So I'm Joshua Briscoe. Nate Taylor is who you heard first. Seth Kaiser is the guy who you heard, whose voice may sound like a robot after this is all said and done. I'm honestly a little bit worried. And what we're doing here, we have clarified for sure for all of the people who have asked us over the last couple of weeks, what are you guys going to do in the off season? What are you guys going to do in the off season? What are you going to do in the off season? We're going to be doing weekly shows throughout the off season unless Nate or Seth, the quitters that they are, decide they need a vacation at some point. Maybe we take off a week. Maybe I'll just sit here and maybe Danielle and I will just chat for an hour. I don't know. We'll figure it out when we get there. But we will continue bringing you Times Ours on a weekly basis consistently throughout this off season, and all of those episodes are going to be free for everybody. So if you are...
What?
I said it! Hashtag confirmed.
Free?
Chapter just tweeted
free?
It.
Free?
Thank you for the energy, Nate. I appreciate it. Also, see Seth, what Nate does, whenever he goes really loud like that, he usually moves back from the microphone so it preserves the quality of the wave files. It's fun. We only did this show for an entire football season.
By the way, you know, when everyone, you know, as the confetti is falling and you know, Patrick Mahomes and, you know, Clark Hunt and Andy Reid are hoisting the Vince Lombardi trophy, they're like, hey, come and call this number to get your commemorative t-shirt, hat, football, whatever. We at The Athletic are now telling you that for the entire offseason of 2020, the commemorative podcasts are free.
That's right. Commemorative Special Edition Podcast, the podcast they were wearing in the locker room. That doesn't make any sense.
Exactly. The headphones that they took and put on in the parade.
What is currently playing through Travis Kelce's earbuds right now, this podcast. Can I legally say that? If I can't legally say that, someone can bleep it out later. You can get all of the shows wherever you get your podcasts all off season long. And so I wanted to reset who we are and what this show is a little bit, because if you're a longtime listener, pop a champagne bottle, or if you're Seth, pop a, I don't know, a nice bottle of water or whatever. Shake it up first. Get a LaCroix and pop that. Get some bubbly, because you can give this podcast to someone who you know and love. Someone who you think could use a little help getting through this commemorative off season. It's all free, and then obviously all the stuff we'll talk about, these articles on The Athletic that I think will be, of course, worth your investment. Even today, we're going to talk about several film reviews that Seth is working on right now because he's a crazy person. We will have tons of content still coming throughout the offseason, but specifically for Times Ours, once a week, unless something crazy happens, I don't know. Nobody's going to tell us not to do a second episode if the the Chiefs trade Chris Jones. Which, you know, and just honestly, for 60 minutes of Seth screaming would be a good podcast the day after that happens. So we will be here, and we'll also take lots of questions this offseason as well.
Right, and there's a lot of trade possibilities. Hey, you know, will Brett Veach trade away that first-round pick? You know, it's just the number 32 pick, and so really it's not even like a first-round pick anymore. It's the start of the second round. Right. But, like, will he trade the pick? What will we know of Chris Jones' future? I'm assuming a franchise tag's going to be used? Patrick Mahomes' mega deal? Like, all these things are... I don't believe there'll be any changes in the coaching staff, but I believe more coaches will... put their voices out there now that they are Super Bowl champions, you know, insert whatever coach title. So yeah. There'll be plenty to discuss this offseason, and I can't tell you how soon the draft is coming. I can't tell you. It's already here. Like, I saw an ad and I was like, that's right. And then I saw where it was and I was like, that's right. It is in Vegas. And like,
sure is.
Oh my goodness. So yeah, you know, yes, it'll be fun, but
Nate's
stop.
Stressed out. I'm excited. You can tell. Let's be honest.
It's so hot. I am up to my neck in a off-season activity I didn't see coming, but other than that, yeah, everything's great.
I don't even know what that is. An off-season activity. Okay. All right. Well, that's a. It could be a cliffhanger for later in this in the off-season. We'll,
yes. Yeah. That's a nice little tease for everybody.
But so there's the plan. All right. The plan is out there, and now I want to talk about the fact that the Chiefs did in fact win the Super Bowl. This is a fun week because we haven't all gotten together and talked since the parade, as Nate mentioned earlier. I was out there, and I have a blister on my foot still. That was how in it I was, and it was very, very cold, but also very, very fun. And I think we all ended up with some different perspectives on it. There's also some extracurricular activities from the parade that I'm very excited to talk to both of you about. But I'm curious because I've spent some time thinking about this, and I imagine you guys have too. And Seth, I'll let you take the first crack at this one. What is the last week been like, as you're no longer in the metaphorical, Seth, just in case anybody's listening, the metaphorical hangover of the Super Bowl victory and the immediate aftermath of it, but as you've had time go by, as you have read the tweets and written some more and all of that, how has this last week felt for you as a fan and an analyst of a Super Bowl winning Chiefs team?
Well, it's been really great, Josh. I've really appreciated my
Oh, I wonder why you'd been so quiet for five straight minutes. Unbelievable.
I literally went
I'm
around.
I'm sorry that
I'm
going to talk now.
He walked around his house and then found, where's the farthest I can go where the mic will still pick me up?
I just thought that you, an apparent, a podcasting professional, would be able to find the sweet spot between eating your microphone and being in a cave. I thought you could. I was wrong.
I don't know. I've been fine all season, then apparently today. How about now? Is this good?
This feels better, yeah.
Okay. All right. We're going to go
Danielle,
with this.
Danielle, can I get an audio check? How does Seth sound other than hurt by my questioning of his work?
Yeah, he was redlining earlier. But it's fine.
Aha! Oh, no, I just did there, but that's okay.
Wow, Danielle. Wow.
I just got to give you facts.
You think you know someone. You know what? Facts do care about my feelings. That's how important I am. Anyway.
I just think your feelings are just very,
They're up and down. They're around.
Malleable. They're around.
Well, they have a tendency to do a lot. There's a lot going on. That's what my wife told me. My feelings do a lot of heavy lifting, is the phrase that she used once.
That's very good. So Seth Kaiser, film review expert, analyst extraordinaire, professional podcaster, good father, great lawyer, handsome man of God.
Well, now I know you're lying, but... yes, so the Super Bowl.
I tried. I should have quit while I was ahead.
Yeah, I know. See, it just went one too far. I haven't been handsome in like 10 years. So, although I used to be quite handsome. Anyway.
No, Seth, you're still handsome. Please tell me how you feel about the Super Bowl.
See, now you should know, Josh, that now I'm tempted to just keep dragging this out because I actually think I hear a trace of annoyance in your voice. But I won't. I want to so badly. God, what is wrong with me? Anyway.
Seth, you're so reserved and you care so much about the podcast being good and not about you.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, the Super Bowl. I think the obviously the game was awesome. We were kind of in a delirious state celebrating the Monday after. For me, what's been a lot of fun in the ensuing week are a few different things. The first, and you alluded to it already, is the NFL film stuff that's come out, like the mic'd up stuff. There's just so much.
So good.
Yeah, there's so much great content that comes from the Super Bowl because everyone's covering it, right? And so, yeah. Like, you have Peter King driving with Andy Reid to practice. You have
just in the truck.
Yeah, that's so funny, though, the way King wrote about that. He's like, yeah, I'll come pick you up at 3.
Can Andy Reid pick me up at 3 a.m.? I mean, I live in Kansas City all the time. I mean, I'm no Peter King, but I mean.
I bet if you asked, he would let you. He seems pretty.
I disagree.
I clearly disagree. He would say, I'll see you at the facility at our normal scheduled time.
Yeah.
Are you Peter King? Are you Peter King? Have I known you for however many years? No. Well, young fella, I'll see you at 2:30.
That is quite the... And he would say it very politely, I bet, though. That's a nice peek behind the curtain of what media coverage is like for the Peter Kings of the world versus the not Peter Kings of the world.
Hey, the legends. The legends, man. I mean, look. I sat feet away from Peter King at the first Super Bowl I've ever covered. So, like, that's awesome. Don't get me wrong. Peter King's like, what are we talking about here? He's a legend.
Yeah, he gets...
He's one of those people where you have to mention both names. Like, I can't just say Peter. Like, I have to mention Peter King. Like, nice. It's just... this is who he is. I mean, you know. But, yeah. But no, continue, Seth. But you're right. I mean, like, there's so much about this season. But, yes, please go.
The coverage is just tremendous. There's so much extra stuff because you kind of get used to covering the Chiefs. Even over the last couple years, there's been more stuff, right, as they've gotten better and better and with Mahomes. But, like, that was kind of a new thing last year, right, seeing stories about the Chiefs on national websites, right, seeing, like, profiles of their quarterback. It was just weird. Well, now it's that times infinity, and that's been a lot of fun. Like, it's allowed me to enjoy the Chiefs in a whole nother way, like as a fan, especially those mic'd up segments and NFL films, man, they just crush their job. Like NFL films might be the best thing the NFL does. Like that might be their best thing. The second thing, it's been quite a journey having, you know, I joked around about a little bit, but like some 49ers fans have been great. And, like, very nice. But, man, there is, like, a strong contingent of very unhappy people who they just, man, it's weird being part of the team that has another fan base saying, like, well, the refs just helped you out. It's like, wow, that's what this feels like. I don't hate it. So it's been a fun week.
If I can add to that, for a moment of accidental cross promotion, one thing that we do on almost entirely sports every week during the football season is my producer, Christian named Beards McFly, goes through the Reddit threads of opposing fan bases that lose to the Chiefs, and then we create sad fans on Reddit.
I love that.
It's a very good bit that is just our pride and joy. But so many times this year, in a way that I just never recognized before, it got to the point where Beards and I talked, was like, hey, we should probably just include less of the complaining about the refereeing because it's not as funny after it happens for 3 minutes of just, oh, they don't call holding against the Chiefs anymore. The NFL wants Mahomes to win these games. And it's just kind of wild. Like, I don't know if that's what Chiefs fans sounded like losing to Peyton Manning for a decade, but
I think we did. I think we did, and it's always good to get a look in the mirror at yourself and go, "Oh, I was annoying." Okay, got it.
Yeah, but, I mean the best part about it is, you know, Seth, it reminds me of a lot of, you know, of course, savvy veteran. You know, James Harrison, you know, flopping to his knees against Eric Fisher in 2016 or whatever year that was, and they're like, now, you know, it would have now the argument from Steelers fans, which I completely understand because I'm a normal, rational human being, with sound logic, would say, hey, you know, don't get beat by 6 field goals, which is accurate,
yes, right?
And the thing that I would say to 49ers fans is, you know, you got beat on WASP. Like, hey, don't have Tyreek. Like, even if, you know, quote unquote, and I think you're right, Seth, in your assessment, and I know you've put it on Twitter and other places, like, it's actually a pretty good recovery by Eric Fisher. Nick Bosa's amazing. Like, he's so good. But there are 10 other guys on the field, and that's the other issue, is that, like, even if he's held for, like, a fraction of a second, the whole secondary knew that the ball was going to Tyreek Hill, and he still got wide open, which is, like, its own issue, given the yards and distance and the fact that they had not had a big play yet really all game outside of that Sammy Watkins catch in the first half. But, yeah, like, Jimmy Garoppolo, third down, Emmanuel Sanders is wide open, and he misses him. So, like, I mean, all these things can be true. And so that would be my push, not necessarily push back to 49ers fans, but just an understanding of, like, hey, the momentum clearly shifted, and you're, you know, the 49ers never really recovered, but they still had opportunities to, you know, change the course of the game in their favor. And, you know, there's still 10 other guys on the field if Nick Bosa is getting held, which, you know, they could call holding on any play in this league.
Yeah.
Especially if it's in the fourth quarter of the Super Bowl. So,
right.
That's kind of the thing. Like, listen, man, refs in general, I would say, are pretty bad. Like, they miss a ton of stuff. It's like an impossible job that refs generally aren't very good at. And I really don't want to spend a ton of time on this. It's whatever. But like, I was trying to figure out, I was going to say the exact number of holding penalties on Pro Football Reference right now, because I remember seeing the stat at one point, and it was a low number, but I'm trying to confirm it now. How many holding penalties were called in this game, period? Like, if you don't think that Chris Jones and Frank Clark could have had a holding penalty called on them in some moment that would have taken a couple of points off the board for the Niners in the grand scheme of things, like, you're just being willfully ignorant. It's, I mean, and again, even if it was super obvious, like, oh, Eric Fisher put him in a chokehold, that kind of stuff happens. Like, I understand it being frustrating, but it's a really, it feels like a very, even for the Eric Fisher, James Harrison thing that you just brought up, Nate, making that because it was the last thing that you remember and yep. it was something that you can blame someone mm-hmm. other than your team for,
yep.
it's just very weak. It's just a very weak, like, oh, well, this is where I'm going to be mad this entire offseason. No, maybe be mad that the quarterback you had wasn't good enough or that the pass rush didn't get to Mahomes off enough. Oh, they didn't get to him because they got held. They got to him. They got to him relatively unsuccessfully in that last stretch of the game. And again, if you don't think Chris Jones ever got held in the middle, you're lying to yourself. I don't know. It's something where in the grand scheme of things, the only place when I think it's going to be super obvious that refereeing changed a game, even like in the issue of the Saints or the pass interference, not this offseason, but not these playoffs, but the last year, even then, like, that was a crushing non-call. But if you have every penalty landed exactly perfectly, which, by the way, I wish it would be, it just never will be, at least not as long as you have human beings making the calls, you're going to have a relatively even spread of missed calls for both teams over the larger sample size. It can be frustrating, sure, but it's a terrible thing to spend an offseason mad about. And I've said that from whenever the Chiefs are on the losing side.
Right. I was going to say this. I don't know if this will sort of segue to one of Seth's articles, but if you want to be upset about the Nick Bosa potentially held, maybe he wasn't held, maybe he was held, who knows if he's held, I don't know. On the next drive where Patrick Mahomes was like a supernova, look, 10 players, because there's actually pressure on this ball, on this completion, 10 players for the 49ers did their jobs really well. You want to know the one guy who didn't do his job well? It was Richard Sherman, who got cooked. Okay?
Yeah.
I think DeForest Buckner hits Mahomes as he's throwing the ball, or like there's enough pressure that the ball has to be thrown maybe a half second before Patrick Mahomes wants it, and so he's got to put enough air on it for Sammy to run under it. But, hey, you know, that play is just as big as the 3rd and 15 to Tyreek Hill. Now, we will, you know, idolize that play more just because that was the exact start of when the run began for the Chiefs. But the 49ers lost their lead because Richard Sherman couldn't cover Sammy Watkins on a snap where everybody else did their job pretty well from a defensive standpoint, looking at the All-22. It's just like, hey, he got beat. The quarterback understood where the blitz was coming from. There was pressure, but he still completed the pass. And then, obviously, Richard Sherman also gave up the touchdown to Damian Williams on the pylon. So, you know, if maybe he was in better position or if he was just a little bit quicker, he could have pushed Damian Williams out of bounds. It would have been 4th and 1 or 4th and goal from the 1-yard line. That's a big decision that Andy Reid would have had to make, whether you tie the game or you go for it. I mean, so as much as people want to, you know, say whatever they want to say about the Nick Bosa possibly being held, Richard Sherman kind of is the epitome of their collapse on defense, in my opinion.
All right, I'm done talking about holding, but sorry, Seth, I have one thing, and then you can wrap up this conversation because I'm over it, because I feel like we might be giving that complaint too much credit, but I did just, here's a fun little fact. I just went to the play log on Pro Football Reference, hit Control F, and then searched the word holding.
Uh-oh.
Do you guys know how many holding penalties were called in this game?
Like one
or two.
There was one. Would you like to guess the player that was called for holding?
I thought it was a run play.
Was it LDT?
It was Byron Pringle. Everybody else can bleep off, man. It was on a kick return. It was Byron Pringle on a kick return. Yeah. There's no other use of the word holding in the play sheet. Are we good? Okay. Sorry, Seth. I cut you off because I wanted to say that Byron Pringle was the only guy who got called for holding in this game. There were no holding penalties apparently thrown during a play from scrimmage.
Right. I was just going to say that from an actual football analysis standpoint, that wasn't a hold. It just wasn't. And I would say that if it were the Chiefs, that's just not a hold. When you're still pushing the guy, even if your arm position isn't ideal, you're not holding unless you're actively holding. Even if you've got your arms wrapped around someone, if you're pushing and not holding, it's not a hold. So that's one thing. And then the other thing, all I did was I got enough complaints to where finally, like, there was an early Tevin Coleman run that went for 17 yards where George Kittle, who I like, by the way, we should talk about this when we talk about the NFL film stuff. George Kittle seems like a good dude, which, as we all know, is very important to me in my
very important
in my estimation of players. He grabbed Damian Williams' hand and like held him there for like a solid second.
It was like they were walking down the park. It was like, hey,
yeah, it was.
Come look at this view.
Like, Wilson had to like spin out of it. Yeah, Wilson, not Williams. Sorry, but it was hilarious. And so I just posted that. I was like, look, guys, we can do this if you want, because that was a 17-yard gain, which is important. So let's just not, like you said, there's the human factor. The thing for me, though, like the more overarching point that I wanted to spend more time on is it's weird to be sitting in this chair, right? Where it's like we're the ones that are like, maybe you just got beat, because that's the kind of stuff that Patriots fans say for years. And it was like one of those, whoa, I'm the bad guy now moments for me.
I was just, honestly, I was sort of just waiting for the Billie Eilish song to start playing. I don't think we have the rights to put that in post, but you just
watch
sang
me.
The words bad guy sent off. Can we do that? Can we do that legally? Is that going to be fair use?
As long as it's just a clip, I can just put
it in Billie Eilish.
Oh, hell yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, Seth, you're so old, Seth. Oh, my God, Seth, you're so old. Can you just read the lyrics to the song Bad Guy for me, just at your convenience, Seth?
Yeah, I could probably do that.
I'm going to just sit it. There's no curses. You're good.
Oh, okay. I'll be all right. Well, you know what? I do think, I think I've heard that name.
Go ahead. Here, I want you to just open the Slack. This is going to be worth the effort. I want you to open the Slack. I'm just going to send you like four lines here that lead up to the chorus. It's not even a trap. I just want to have you saying this on audio, please.
Is it as good as a bad guy by Fabulous back in the day? Let me think.
So go ahead and just read the lyrics I sent in the Slack.
Oh, yeah, I know that song. My wife listens to that song sometimes.
Can I get the lyrics from you?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah, how would you like this read? Dramatically?
That's up to you. That's up to you, really.
You know, I'm so tempted to do the singing, but I got shy all of a
Give
sudden.
Give the people what
I'm
they
that
want,
bad
Seth.
Type. Make your mama sad type. Make your girlfriend mad type. I'm not going to do Might Seduce Your Dad type. That felt like a bridge too far.
Can I get the last line?
I'm the bad guy, duh. Okay, I do know that song. That's my bad. Billie Eilish, talented.
That's okay. Yeah, I like Billie Eilish.
This is like
that
when,
was worth it.
This was like when the first time that I heard, who's the Bruno Mars, right? I had never heard of Bruno Mars. We were at a Chiefs game, and in between plays, you know, they always play music, even when they really shouldn't, like after a really bad play, and you're like, guys, what are you doing? But whatever. And like, the players are on the field, and it was after like a good play, and I just hear in the background, you know, boach, ch-ba-bo-do, ba-bo-do. And I was like, whoa, this is awesome. I'm like, man, this should be a really popular song. And apparently it was. So
it was.
And
apparently it was. Narrator. It was one of the most popular songs in America at that time,
and for good reason. Hey
guys, you guys want to hear a sound here? You guys want to hear a sound?
Yes.
You know what that was? That was me crumpling up the copy points for DoorDash. Because I don't need any of those. Hey, guys, ask me when I used DoorDash last. Ask me the last time I used DoorDash. Come on, guys, do it.
Josh, when did you...
Last night, Nate! DoorDash. Thanks for asking! I don't know how anyone's not up on DoorDash yet. Literally last night, I'm sorry to tell everyone exactly how hard I go on the weekends, but me and some of my friends, my girlfriend and a couple of my friends were playing Settlers of Catan, it gets lit, honestly, like it was a lot. We're playing Settlers of Catan, as cool people do on a weekend.
Yeah.
And there had been no real food plans made. We had the discussion, like, oh, I could get pizza, or I could, like, make something, or I don't have any food over here, I don't know what could do. Oh, yeah, we'll use DoorDash, because it's 2020, and we're smart, because I like the idea of having any food delivered. So we had some, like, excellent tacos from a local Mexican place. It was incredible, because DoorDash is incredible. It's an app, okay? You know what DoorDash is. Don't be dumb. You download the app, you open it up, and you go, oh, my God, there's so many options, and they'll just bring this to me? Yeah, man. So you can be out here getting your sheep, getting your bricks, getting your wheat, getting some ore, making a development card, see if you build a little army, get the longest. It doesn't matter if you'd be playing Settlers of Catan or anything else. That's not a part of the copy. That's just my life experience. And you can have the food brought to your house, in most instances, I would say, more quickly than you would expect. So use DoorDash, and we can help you do it now, okay? They're bringing all of these restaurant options right to your door, and we're going to make it cheaper for you to do it. It's already, like, it's an incredibly good deal for the convenience to get it straight to your door. But if you go, man, I just wish it would basically wipe out, like, every fee, and I would just be able to really find out for this first time if it's worth a couple extra bucks to have the magic of basically just having it straight up, you know, brought to your door by a wizard who just casts a spell on this food and has it flow it up to your doorstep. Well, here's the good news. All right, everybody, listen here. Come in real close. Right now, listeners to Times Ours can get $5 off their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter the code TIME. Why wouldn't you do this? It's $5 off your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter code TIME. That's code TIME, T-I-M-E, for $5 off your first order with DoorDash. Stop wasting your time and start using the promo code TIME in DoorDash. Did anybody else have any thoughts, or did my enthusiasm for this wonderful product get us through?
I feel a little shamed by the fact that I haven't used it.
Use the promo code TIME!
I don't know how common DoorDash is in Park Rapids, Minnesota, but we'll get on that.
Did you know they have delivery? Seth, they have delivery in all 50 U.S. states, Puerto Rico, Canada, and Australia.
Oh, they'll get it to you, Seth.
They have 310,000 restaurant partners in 4,000 cities. Download the app, Seth. Download the app. Use the code TIME.
We've used DoorDash sparingly because I'm DoorDash for one holiday.
This just sounds like what I do for my wife. My wife has lived DoorDash life for 10 years, and I feel like she owes me money.
I've gone to Cheesecake Factory enough times for them to probably say to me, you know we're partners with DoorDash.
Yeah, you know.
And I'm like, and you know I'm married, right?
Yeah, you know, this is just my job.
They are, like, the Cheesecake Factory is literally in the copy points. It's on the list.
Yeah, I know. I've seen other DoorDash employees pick up food at
other Cheesecake Factory. Other DoorDash. I love how you just made other. Yourself an employee.
Other. Listen.
I've seen my colleagues, in the DoorDash handling their business for money. And I'm here not in uniform because I only deliver to one person.
Nate, my hands to God, this is what you can do next time. Download DoorDash, enter the promo code TIME, have Cheesecake Factory brought to you. Holly's like, you gonna pick it up? Like, yeah, honey, I'll go pick it up. you just hang out. It's warm in your house. You're doing something on your laptop. Maybe these writing fingers are out here typing, whatever it is. And then you, right. whenever you see how they're getting close, but by the way, you can like track in the app. It's great. You see them getting close. You go, all right, honey, I'll be back. Or honestly, you don't say anything. You just sneak out and you grab that food before they hit the doorbell. You say, thank you very much, sir or ma'am. You provide a great service. You walk back in the door, hero once again, and it costs you nothing because you're using the promo code TIME. So you're getting $5 off, and you know at Cheesecake Factory that order is over $15. That's not even a problem.
Yeah.
I feel like this is now your free time. You are getting... You're getting a little you time.
The gift of time.
By pulling yourself away into a quiet space while waiting for DoorDash to bring you your Cheesecake Factory.
I will heed your advice. Heed your advice.
Just tell your wife that you'll take care of it though, so that way you can be honest too.
Well, you always gotta get the credit somehow.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's you know what? I'm on it. That's it.
Yeah, yeah. It'll be here in 20 minutes. Whatever you need to say to keep your conscience clear, that's up to you. We need to talk about the parade, guys, because some bleep happened. Like, the parade started with a car chase that was not on the schedule. That's a real actual thing that occurred.
You know, you've got some issues when you're like, where can I go where everybody in town is in one location, including all of law enforcement?
Yeah.
Like, let me start some you-know-what.
Yeah, honestly, now, I thought Belichick would have taken that better, but clearly he just decided he needed a parade, so he did a little joyride.
Yeah. Now, this person, I believe, was impaired based on reports of law enforcement.
Yes.
And you know what? I can't, you know, hey, it's the morning of a championship parade for the first time in 50 years. Who wasn't intoxicated to some degree? But for the majority, people were not in cars. But yeah, I mean.
Yeah, that's where it's a bridge too far. There you go. I think you know, I'm very comfortable taking an anti-drunk driving stance. I'm very comfortable with that platform.
Yeah. I at one point walking around, because I was out there, I was like trying to get some different viewpoints for some pictures and stuff, and I walked past a woman who was just carrying a half-empty bottle of tequila. Like, not like a margarita, no, like straight up a bottle of tequila. And you know what? You chase your bliss as long as it's not being chased by the police, you know? Down a busy parade route. Just don't do that, okay?
The camera work by 41 Action News in Kansas City was excellent.
Yeah,
like,
it
was excellent. So hey, you know, glad to see nobody was injured. It kept the festivities very light.
Yeah.
There was one person who did get injured, and
yes.
He was given he was trying to make the reception of his life. And he even saw a ricochet off the truck, and he was like, you know what? My concentration and hand-eye coordination right now are on all Madden levels because Patrick Mahomes threw this Nerf football in my direction. And you know what? Damn it, I'm going to catch it.
Man.
Until he was clean clocked by a parking
meter.
And
parking meters,
of a linebacker.
Parking meters must be like, they must be buried like 2 feet in that cement because that thing didn't even move. Like,
did not move. It was NFL hits coming at you. Woo!
That was what was amazing to me. Is like, I don't think that was like he hit a building. Like, so hats off to the people who install parking meters in Kansas City, because they're just like,
oh, we gonna keep your quarters, because that bad boy ain't moving.
Yeah, you are not getting this thing out of the ground. I think that thing's anchored in like China. It was just like, and he went down hard. Like,
hard.
It looked like he was trying to not make a big deal out of it, but was clearly hurt.
when the superstar quarterback has to go on Twitter to be like, hey, can y'all tell me if he's still breathing or not? I mean, that's when you know the parade has reached a level that I did not foresee. You know, like, you do see some things in real time, but a lot of it is like, okay, I'm catching it up as I'm writing about it, last week for the story. And I'm just like, wait, what happened?
It I mean, he wasn't your... I hate to fact correct you, Nate. He wasn't the only person that was injured. I believe there was a stretcher brought out for the man who fell out of a tree with his entire ass out.
Oh, no.
He was mooning people in a tree, and he was trying to. He'd gotten pretty high up, and his just the back of his pants, just the butt out, and he was mooning Kansas City, and he was trying to get up to the next branch, and it didn't happen. And if you have someone got the whole thing on video, and the payoff of that video is so incredible because you spend 30 seconds staring at this man's pale, pasty butt. And you go, man, what am I doing with my life right now? And then he jumps and he misses, and it's incredible.
It's like the amazing Kansas City American Ninja Warrior edition.
Yes.
Yeah.
With no water.
It should have won a cinematography award last night in the Oscars. It was unbelievably well shot.
This is why I'm just going to give a little life advice to everyone who's maybe over the age of about 20 here. You're probably not as athletic as you were when you were playing sports in high school, unless you played a little ball in college, whatever. Because, I mean, look, when I played ball in high school, I was running every day. I was jumping around every day. I still wasn't that athletic. And so everyone should play ball like once a week just to know what they're physically capable of. Because I'm glad you made the American Ninja Warrior reference, because people see that and they're like, oh, I could probably jump from this branch. No, you can't. You're not a monkey.
You physically can't.
Yeah, you weigh so much more than you think you do. And like,
and there's this thing called gravity, and have we introduced it
yeah,
to you?
Yeah, it is undefeated. But yeah, the parade looked pretty wild. I almost drove down for it, but then I was like,
oh, real?
I almost did. Oh. I almost did, but I was just like, it's such a crowd, and I don't know.
It's also very.
It was
very
a crowd.
Cold.
Shout out to my guy Shabu Matthew. You know, family pastor at Heartland Community Church in Olathe, the church I go to.
Did he get arrested?
Sunday, not during the football season. He did not get arrested.
Okay, thank God.
What he told the congregation yesterday was that his child, Robbie, was drenched by beer from Chris Jones.
Oh, no.
That is their parade story.
Oh,
like Chris Jones was in such a vibe
that
he sprayed everybody. I don't know if it was Coors Light, Budweiser, whatever it was, but like, Robbie loves Chris Jones and got a little bit of beer along the way to a championship parade.
So it was that kind of scene.
I would like to ask Seth, I'm not even sure if you've seen all of these, so if not, it's fine. Nate, I imagine you've seen all of these. I have committed all of these to perfect memory. I would like to power rank some things. We don't do a lot of power rankings on this show. I think today we've earned it. Because I would like to power rank these six things that real actual things that happened during the parade. We have the guy going to catch a Nerf football from Patrick Mahomes and getting absolutely NFL hits 2000 style laid out by a parking meter. We have a high-speed police chase where the KCPD actually kept anybody from getting hurt from this drunk driver. We have Patrick Mahomes super nonchalantly catching a beer, cracking it open, chugging it, and then spiking the can in a very, very cool way. We have Patrick Mahomes waterfalling a beer from a double-decker bus into the mouth of Travis Kelce while spinning on the ground, soaking a $20,000 Louis Vuitton coat. We have the man with his entire butt out falling out of a tree. And then we have a man standing on a horse, apparently his horse. I've done some research.
That was amazing.
A man standing on a horse, smoking a joint, falling down onto the horse, landing on it perfectly, and then riding off into the sunset. Those are six things that actually happened during the Chiefs parade. I would like you to power rank them accordingly.
I think it's strange, but I think the double-decker waterfall is like six in a weird way. Like, can't believe I'm saying that.
It's a lot of good
things. Number one is, you know, Frank Caliendo giving you commentary of John Madden and Pat Summerall to my man falling out of the tree. That's number one. Just go find it on Twitter. Just search Frank Caliendo's account. I it was funny for a lot of things. I mean, the guy on the horse is probably like number two just on pure feet.
Because I've never seen that before.
That he was able to accomplish. And then the bronze medal goes to my guy who valiantly. I mean, he was gonna. In my heart, I want to see him make that catch. In my heart, I want to rewatch it like 5 times, and every time I want to be like, "Look at him! Look at him! Go get that football! Look at him!" And then that linebacker just sees ball, sees man, separates ball from man.
Seth, can I get a medal stand? I like that 3-1.
Yeah, I see. I am a fan of impressive things, right? And so I would have to say the medal stand. So the bronze medal, I would say the horse thing. That would be because that was impressive, you know, landing perfectly, especially because the man was clearly high. That was, look,
well, yes, yes,
clearly
that kind of hand.
Yes, like, can we get you to say that as a color commentator? The man was clearly high.
let's just be real. He was clearly high, and that was impressive. Number two has to go to the parking meter thing because, again, I just can't get over how well built that parking meter is. That's just like, man, if someone crashes their car in that, they're in trouble. Like,
yeah.
That thing was just, I'm just curious. I want to know from Kansas City how deep they bury those things. So that's the silver medal. The gold medal, though, we all know I am not an imbiber of alcohol. Anytime someone snags something out of air like Mahomes did, I mean, that was cool. I mean, it was.
So cool.
He is the guy. Everything he does is just so effortless because you watch that and you're like, of course he caught that. He's that guy. Remember when he did like the soccer promo for Sporting KC and he like kicked the ball around a little bit and then kicked it perfectly through the net? And it's just like, I bet being friends, Mahomes seems like a great dude. And again, that's very important to me. But I bet being friends with him is hard sometimes. Because I bet like he's that guy that's like, oh, what's this? Pinochle? I've never played this before. And then like 2 minutes later, it's just thrashing you. Yeah, it's just like, I would be willing to bet most of his friends are like, no, dude, I'm not playing games with you. Like, why would I ever do that? But and so that's the gold medal there because he really did snag that bad boy right out of the air, Stone Cold style. And that's not easy to do on a moving bus.
While you're intoxicated.
Yeah.
While you are physically intoxicated.
Yeah, it was also weird seeing that side of Mahomes because it was like, then he was on Twitter later and it was like, oh, Pat, go to bed, dude. Like, he's like sitting there like I actually ended up tweeting at him because he was like, where's my invitation to like an all-star celebrity basketball game? I was like, Patrick, no. No. This is a bridge too far, man. So it was interesting seeing him. He's always so buttoned down that it was interesting seeing him being a little more like, hey, let's celebrate a bit here.
That, and for me, that was actually one of the things that I wanted to, I've talked about on the radio a bunch this week, so I don't need to like get to it a bunch. But like, I started being a Chiefs fan like closely, and I think after the 2007 draft and in that season, the reason why is I don't know, that was just the age, and also they drafted Dwayne Bowen. I liked that the Chiefs drafted a receiver, I guess. I don't know. But Brody Croyle and Damon Heward could have walked in to any concert venue after that season ended, like Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce did into the Post Malone show at the Sprint Center, and people would have asked them for peanuts. They would have been like, who are you? Like, are you looking for your seat, sir? And the video of Mahomes and Kelce and their girlfriends and their crew and everything going into the Sprint Center before the Post Malone show and just getting the ovation, and then it's the celebration and the dancing with the Lombardi Trophy and the whole attitude around this whole week.
And how annoyed Britney was with him at the Post Malone concert.
I didn't see this.
She didn't look like super annoyed, but you could tell she was trying to like. It reminded me of Jazz and myself when I'm kind of acting the fool a little bit. She kind of like gestured like, okay, come on. And he looks her dead in her eye and just not breaking eye contact, starts dancing around more.
It's so good.
It was a great couples moment. And I like moments like that because you could see her. I mean, you couldn't even see her face, but that woman was rolling her eyes so hard that I'm amazed she didn't pass out. I know that for a fact because I've seen that body language before.
And at this point, Mahomes can do whatever he wants. He's Dr. Manhattan. He's an untouchable demigod. And for the first time, even his speech at the parade, and we're going to run out of time to talk about all the other stuff from this week, and we'll have plenty of time in this offseason, and we'll talk about all the film reviews we miss on Monday. We can only talk about a parade every once in a while. Even his speech was like he made fun of his own voice and then having very little voice left. And it was for everybody, but especially for Mahomes and even for Andy Reid, it was the most swaggering I've ever seen any of them,
yep.
Which makes sense. The weight is off their shoulders. They did the thing. The accomplishment was done. There's no we shouldn't be acting out like this after the season because they won it. This is the parade. This is the week of them doing all of that.
Right.
And I enjoyed it so much. Because we got to see them be human beings that were proud of an accomplishment like that. And frankly, I think in general, the world could probably do a little better job of appreciating it when stuff like that happens. And maybe we'd be a little less judgmental at every single turn. But seeing them specifically kind of lean into that for a little while, I thought was really cool. And Nate, you wrote about a bunch of this. Including the fact that Andy Reid was like, yeah, we'll be back here next year. Yeah. No, that's we're going to just be here. It wasn't like, we'll try to be. No. Yeah, we'll be here again next year. That's the, everybody got it in their calendar? Cool. All right. Andy out. That happened. He banged the drum, Nate.
Yeah, he banged the drum to end the season. I mean, it's just the thing that I can't get over enough is, as I wrote, it was the final. This is how every football team wants their season to end. It's like, hey, guys, we have one more team meeting.
Yeah.
It's the meeting before the championship parade. And yeah. It accentuated everything that Andy Reid told them from training camp on, which is hey, let's be our best, but let's do it our way, essentially, which is let me see your personality while also being accountable, while also being, precise, while also being, a team that is willing to handle the adversity whenever it's, going to come because it's going to come. So like you said, Josh, let the guys show their emotions and their personalities and how much this moment meant to them. Because, I think for the most part, none of them had really had anything close to this before.
Yep.
Whether it's Patrick Mahomes and being from Texas Tech, whether it's Travis Kelce switching positions in college to becoming, quite a bit of a NFL fame to now he is, a true legend at his own position. How many people knew who Frank Clark was 3 years ago? How many people knew who Chris Jones was even 2 years ago? So for all this to happen for the team to be so invested in Andy Reid's legacy cementing win, to get his first Super Bowl, I thought was pretty fun. And yeah, I mean, it's a special team. There are a lot of comparisons to the 2015 Royals, and this is the Chiefs version of that, which is just like, hey, you made an accomplishment in a very, distinct year, whether it was 30 years or 50 years. And you did it in a way that few NFL teams have ever done. In fact, no NFL team had ever come back from double-digit deficits in all three victories in the postseason to win the championship. So they did it in their own way with their own personality, and their coach allowed them to be themselves. And for fans who wanted to get a glimpse, for fans who wanted to get some beer drenched on them, they did it in their own way. And that kind of makes them special for this specific city. In the specific fan base.
Yeah. And for me, even this is very self-involved, but for every single game afterwards, I was doing the post-game show on 810. So it went very quickly from, the games for all of us, we're watching them a little bit differently than most fans. Cause most fans don't take 6 pages of Google Doc notes over the course of a game and then immediately shift into work mode. Going to the parade and not having any sort of I was taking photos and doing some stuff for 810, and I was taking some sort of mental notes to talk about on later in the week and everything, but to kind of get to be there just for the experience of it and to see how, again, the team and the city was experiencing it was just really cool. Mm-hmm. And for me, again, kind of a rare moment throughout how this season has gone. Also, number 3, I'm going to say Mahomes to Kelce pouring beer out of the top of a double-decker bus because I haven't seen that before, and it was extremely cool. number 2, man falling out of a tree, entire butt out. And then number 1, man standing on a horse smoking a joint because I've also never seen that. And also, none of our medal stands included the police very likely saving lives.
Yeah.
They saved lives. And you're like, yeah, good try. You weren't high on a horse. Do it on a horse next time.
It was not a high-speed chase, but it was like, in my eyes, and again, this goes out to the whoever shot it for 41 Action News here in Kansas City, it was like, all right, y'all, in post-production, we're going to speed this up so that it looks Fast and Furious. We're like, all right, big crowds. Okay, everybody go. Ah! All right, cars, go, 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 go. All right, please take them down. You know, like, but it was in like, it was at a 30 to 40 mile an hour speed of rate versus like the, you know, 100, 120, 140 in like an action movie. But it was really like bizarre to see like, oh, there's just a crowd of people and like a car chasing another car and like, yeah, this just happens. Are they shooting a film? Oh, right. This is a championship parade. Oh, so he drunk. Okay, I see what you're saying. Mm-hmm. Odd, but I mean, sure. 2020, yeah.
Seth, we have relatively little time remaining, and you've written two very good things already since the last podcast, and so people can check it out, of course, on The Athletic. There's the film review of Sammy Watkins and the film review of Chris Jones. The Watkins review is accompanied by a link to the Turning Point video the NFL did. That's just so good. We haven't even really talked about the Wasp thing. I think someone mentioned it earlier, like that whole play. This could literally be a 3-hour episode, but since it isn't, can you explain why Chris Jones was the defensive MVP of this game?
Sure, and to do a little, I don't know, promotion or whatever you want to call it, what I'm doing right now is I'm going through a little series I'm calling the players who won the Super Bowl. And I'm just kind of taking a closer look. Obviously, Mahomes will be eventual, but that's so obvious that I was like, eh. So I started with Chris Jones and Sammy Watkins. Today I'm writing about Mitch Schwartz. I might look at Damian Williams, maybe Frank Clark, maybe a few other guys as time permits, because let's face it, the news cycle moves quickly, right? I'm going to take a couple weeks because I already see people talking about the draft and talking about what's going to happen with Chris Jones. And I'm just like, you know what? Let's just enjoy it. Let's take a couple weeks. Let's just enjoy
it. We got some time.
Yeah, there's no need to move on to the next thing already. That's what I did when the Jayhawks won the championship and I stopped being a Jayhawks fan, which it just happened on accident. It's because they won the championship. I was like, yay! And then 2 minutes later, I was like, oh, I wonder how next season will go. I was like, I'm not doing that with the Chiefs. Anyway.
I didn't even know that part of your story. I had no idea.
Oh my goodness, when Chalmers hit that three, I lost my mind. I was screaming into a pillow because I had sleeping kids. And I was like,
You've always been so annoying about your disdain for basketball that this is like legitimately shocking.
No, I played basketball. Basketball was the sport that I loved the most. It's the NBA post-Jordan that I'm like, eh. Anyway.
Hey, somebody in Memphis right now is saying Sharon Collins had a moving screen. Just want to put that out.
Oh, you know what? You know what? That person in Memphis should know that they had like 4/5 of their starting lineup was an illegal team. So anyway, about Chris Jones. Yeah. So that's the series that I'm writing right now because I want to take a closer look. Like this is maybe a once in a lifetime thing. This is once in 50 years. And let's look at what happened. Let's examine every facet of it. If it were up to me, I'd do an individual film review on every single player. But I ran that idea by Brendan and he was like, nah, dude. And so instead I'm doing it the important players, and I started with Chris Jones because here's the thing. Down that stretch in the fourth quarter, Chris Jones made plays that were just as important for the comeback as Wasp. Like if he doesn't, we talked about this a little bit last week. If he doesn't knock down that the first one that he knocked down on 2nd and 5 there on the drive after the Chiefs had come within 3. If he doesn't knock down that 2nd and 5 throw, George Kittle is all sorts of open, and there's just Dan Sorensen in his way, and he's going to have a head of steam, and Sorensen won't, and I like Dan, but there's no way that ends well for him. There's just no way. And so that's like a game-sealing play because they would keep the clock going. They would gain like 30 or 40 yards, maybe more. I mean, that's one of those plays that like gets them again ahead 2 scores maybe. It just changes everything. Never mind the fact that after the initial Mahomes interception, the second interception that is, Jones made a couple of huge plays in a row that helped them go 3 and out. And then he knocked down a couple passes. Then he knocked down more passes on the final drive. And then Frank Clark sealed the deal with a sack. But that was because Chris Jones took out his blocker. Basically, in the fourth quarter, Jones was to the defense what Mahomes was to the offense.
Yep.
So you think they'll trade him for what, a third?
Oh, I swear to God.
Oh, it's got to be.
You know what? I have to do this. I have to do this.
That's what D4 got last year.
It is just this soul thing. People already, and this is one of the reasons why I'm focusing on the Super Bowl, because I will not get involved in this conversation yet. But I tweeted out that famous Family Guy moment where it's like, hey, you want a new boat? It's like, or you can take the mystery box. And Lois is like, well, obviously, taking about now, hang on a minute, Lois. A boat is a boat, but a mystery box could be anything. It could even be a boat. You know how much we wanted one of those. And that is what people do with draft picks. It's like, well, you know, we might get an elite interior defensive lineman. Really? Well, wouldn't that be great? And I just, it's like, well, you know, we need it for the salary cap purposes. We might want to pay Sammy. And look, Sammy had a great game. I wrote about him, too. Go read it. But Chris Jones has been great for 3 years in a row, people. What are we doing here if we're not paying elite defensive players? Where it's like, well, we need to hang on to our corners. Why? I like Charvarius Ward, but he's not worth more than Chris Jones. Yeah, if you're going to get rid of guys to be cap casualties, get rid of the guys who didn't play well this year. Don't get rid of the guys who were pivotal in making and winning a Super Bowl.
And I would also like to mention that at every turn, Chris Jones has been like, I want to stay.
Yeah.
Don't do this to me.
Yeah, he couldn't be more clear. He showed up for training camp when he didn't have to. He has done what he needs to do. He proved for the people that somehow question it, well, I don't know if he'll work in Steve Spagnuolo's system. Maybe his system doesn't like great players. I don't know. That whole conversation before the season made me crazy. Just like, yeah, maybe Steve Spagnuolo won't be able to find a purpose for a guy who can play literally any position on the defensive line and is awesome.
Hey,
yeah.
Hey, Steve Spagnuolo's wife cooked him meatballs before the AFC Championship.
He wants to be family. In Kansas City. He wants to be in Kansas City. I get it. It's a huge contract, whatever. But everyone's like, well, you can't pay two guys along the defensive line like that. Sure you can. You just have to be careful with the rest of your contracts. Salary cap is not about what you pay. It's about who you pay. Every team can fit about 5 giant contracts on it. The point is making sure you pay the right guys. And I think Chris Jones is one of the right guys, which I'm sorry. You did it, Josh. You triggered me. You set me off. Well done. I was very ready to be triggered. I was very ready to be triggered there, I think.
So like a second and a fourth?
I'm thinking. Yeah. Look at here. I'm thinking a second this year, a first next year, but conditional in some aspects.
Sure. And that's what people are saying.
I'm thinking a bust of a second round draft pick who played the same position.
That's what people are saying. That's people good. Are in my mentions Change saying the scenery. This.
Nate, that's a great point. You want to get somebody who maybe you think Spags can use and kind of make them Chris Jones.
Right.
Because it's really about the
system. The system itself has created Chris Jones, not the other way around.
Mike Pennell was the star of that defensive line this year. Seth, if you don't mind Nate now talking. Yeah, hold on 1 second, Seth. Hold on. Seth, we'll get right back to you. But, Nate, like, Pennell was excellent. You know, they drafted Colin Saunders. Derek Nottie is there. I think all three of them play the same position.
Don't forget that Breland Speaks is coming off injury, okay? Breland Speaks
is coming back.
There are enough bodies.
He's a second-round pick, too.
There are enough bodies.
Physical pain.
There are enough bodies to collectively get the production that one Chris Jones gave you. Now, it may not come in the Super Bowl because you may never get there, but there are enough guys to get the same amount of production from 8 different guys.
Nate, you know, like, if you know, I know that Breland Speaks against the run's a bit of a concern, but Chris Jones wasn't good against the run until Spags fixed him.
Right.
So maybe we can do that for Breland Speaks also.
Kansas City, Josh. This stopped being funny about 5 minutes ago.
You know who we're not
Seth
talking
will get
about enough?
Right to you.
We're not talking about this man enough. Brendan Daly, you know, Chiefs defensive line was never good until
he
showed
great
up.
Point.
Never good. I mean, Brendan Daly won with the Patriots. He left the Patriots. Guess what happened?
Yeah.
They didn't win a Super Bowl.
Chiefs won.
He came to the
That's
Chiefs.
A great point.
Guess what happened? Chiefs won a Super Bowl. So really, this has more to say about Brendan Daly than anybody else.
Honestly,
even though
before Brendan Daly
even though
got
he
here,
does not play a single snap of football.
Well, no, but you know, he coached him up. I mean, I would say before
really
Brendan
coached
Daly
him
got here,
up.
Chris Jones,
I mean, incredibly.
Chris Jones is kind of a bust.
I mean, or I wouldn't necessarily say that, Josh, but he was not reaching the fullest of his potential until Brendan Daly gave him a call.
Absolutely, yeah. So I'd like to see what Colin Saunders could do with more snaps. You know,
exactly. I mean, who's to say that Derek Nottie, Colin Saunders, Mike Pennell, Breland Speaks, Tano Passanio? I mean, like, who's not to say that they wouldn't be supported by Chris Jones, but they could also give the same amount of production through all of their various
and they can,
qualities. If we put them in a lab and fuse them together, like Dragon Ball Z style, then yeah, they could be Chris Jones.
I have never been more angry.
Well, we're out of time.
Look, I get salary cap.
You're telling me you have a...
Oh, my gosh.
You're telling me you have a... One quick question. So, Seth, you're telling me that the Chiefs have a superstar player at the defensive line, which is the shortest path to the quarterback, right?
Expensive.
Yeah, I hear that it's important to be able to get to the quarterback.
Quickly. And quickly, right?
Yeah.
Quickly.
Yeah,
like from quickly. From point A to point B, the fastest.
Or if they double-team you, this smarts to jump up and knock down passes. Look, I get it. Contrast stuff is expensive. It's always going to depend on what he wants.
But he wants to be here, though. That's not even a thing, right?
I know.
He calls Frank Clark his brother, right? I mean, he calls the guy who got the contract that he wanted a year earlier, he still calls him his brother, still worked with him, still wants to continue
Clark
to work with him.
Clark tweeted out, pay the man. Like, Frank Clark wants him paid. I get that people are concerned about the salary cap. I genuinely get that. But again, you can pay both those guys. Does that mean you're going to probably lose like Watkins, maybe like LDT, maybe a few other supporting players? Yes, it does. But what are we doing here? Like, football is not a game where it's like, you know, three decent players are worth one superstar. It doesn't work like that. It just doesn't. And this idea, and like people are like, well, you got to trust Brett Veach to draft well and replace him. If you trust Brett Veach, then you trust him to find guys in the draft and in the lower end of free agency to where you can afford to pay Chris Jones. I am done talking about this. I'm fine. I've calmed down. You guys are jerks. But I just, that whole thing, because he wants to be in Kansas City. And yeah.
I saw some XFL guys this weekend that looked really good. That I feel like you could get at a way better price and then just coach them up.
And those guys try hard.
They're trying so hard.
Holy crap.
Yeah. Look, the Chiefs want to keep... okay, the short bit of reporting I can say. The Chiefs want to keep...
Whoa, we have facts after
what?
That
what?
For 20 minutes?
This is why people tune in. You get me ranting, and then you get Nate actually giving people facts. Please, Nate, tell me, because I got to tell you...
The 5-minute mark.
There's a lot of bad Chris Jones. There's a lot of Chris Jones information out there where people are saying they know stuff. Tell me something, Nate.
The two sides have a deadline. It's called, you know, the franchise tag. I assume that will be used as a placeholder, and then they will go from there. The question is, there are other corresponding moves to make, like you mentioned before, with other players, but, Chris Jones has made it clear that he wants to get paid and that he's willing to give up leverage. And in some ways, by giving up leverage, by saying you want to come back, you are going to give up some level of compensation. So there's a chance that he could return on a 3 to 4 year deal of some kind. It's just we're at the very start of the process, and it could take a long time. But there is a way for Chris Jones to be maintained on this team beyond just a franchise tag. And I think for his agents and for health reasons whatsoever, Chris Jones kind of just played his franchise tag season in a weird way, like when you really think about it. But you can use the tag to sort of, you know, it's like a continuation process where it's just like, okay, this is the step we need before you actually reach free agency, with the understanding that, like, we are going to work out a longer deal if both sides are still amicable, which appears to be the case. And if Chris Jones wants to remain with the Chiefs, this is probably the best path for both sides to get to before they figure out cap deals, Mahomes' situation, and then what you're going to do with other players alongside the draft.
All right, that's going to be our jumping off point. There's more specifically from Seth on Chris Jones up on The Athletic right now. Sammy Watkins film review up there as well. Plus, Seth, I know you're working on a piece looking at Mitch Schwartz. You've tweeted about how you're concerned that your numbers are wrong because they're so good. So there's a little spoiler alert, I suppose, yeah?
Yeah, it's so good.
I'm very much looking forward to that. I'm very much looking forward to that. So for the future again, We're going to be here weekly. The specific days might be flexible. I don't know. You're going to hear from us on a weekly basis. And if you're not going to, we'll warn you ahead of time. But most importantly, for the stuff we're all writing, the other content we're all doing, make sure you follow all of us on Twitter. It's by Nate Taylor for Nate, Real MN Chiefs fan for Seth. I am at JB Briscoe. You can use the hashtag TimesRs. We'll take questions throughout the offseason as well. Even today, though, we obviously didn't get to everything, which is, I feel like, pretty fitting. We might have one of those shows in, like, June when we just still miss 47 topics because we can't get our bleep together. That's fine. But for everybody else, just please don't fall half naked out of a tree, all right? That's my goal for you for the month of February. Only one guy has definitely failed at it so far. Everybody else, keep your pants on and don't fall out of the tree. Nate, you can now undercut all of your excellent reporting and context by coming up with a stupid way for us to get out of the show.
Okay, while supplies last, ladies and gentlemen, my wife, Holly Taylor, has sent out a tweet that you can find on Twitter, at By Night Taylor, of us sorting and collecting all the confetti that I gathered at the Super Bowl. Again, while supplies last, my hope is to send a mail package on Friday, at the end of the week, of giving away the confetti to anyone who wants it, who listens to our lovely podcast. So,
do any of them have my tweets? Be honest.
And are colleagues included in this? Because
yeah, well, colleagues are grandfathered in, so that, like, you guys are already in a reserve wing. Like, you know, if I'm making, like, a bourbon right now, like, you guys are obviously getting the first taste. The issue is, again, while supplies last, I have confetti to give to our listeners. So if you would like to message me on Twitter, please use direct messaging versus, like, conventional, like, replies. It's a little easier that way. There's been a Venmo account discussed between me and my wife so that you could, if you would like to donate,
pay for shipping. Is pretty good.
Yes.
That would be smart.
Yes. That's what we would prefer at this moment. Like, you don't have to give us anything else other than let me know what your address is, and then I figure out how much it'll cost to ship it, and then we will go from there. But yes, I have tweets from players and celebrities along with red and gold confetti, and this has been a long, strenuous podcast and process, but I love you guys. So, yeah, while supplies last, up until Friday, that's pretty much the cutoff date, I believe, before, like, I have to go back to work. Yeah, if you want some confetti, come reach out on me on Twitter. You have until Friday while supplies last. Thank you.
And Nate, I will just add really quickly, Nate will actually send you an extra piece if you DM at RealMN Chiefs fan all the reasons that the Chiefs should trade Chris Jones.
That is correct. If you would like an extra piece, perhaps an extra tweet from a player on a white confetti sheet that was, you know, fluttering around Hard Rock Stadium, then yes, tell Seth why Chris Jones can't come back next season.
I am tagging Chris Jones in every one of those that you people send me.